Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Guy Carpenter has a new report called Refocusing the Lens, an updated look at cyber model divergence. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Erica Davis, Managing Director and Global Co-Head of Cyber at Guy Carpenter, and Jess Fung, Managing Director and North American Cyber Analytics Lead at Guy Carpenter, who were both instrumental in the publication of that report. And Erica, let's start with you today. Can you tell us a little bit about the report and the reason for publishing it?
Sure. Thank you, John, and thank you for having us today. Our reasons for the report are that the cyber market has continued to grow and mature. Guy Carpenter now calculates the global cyber market size to be about $15.5 billion in gross written premium. So with that expansion, and as the nature of cyber risk continues to shift, there is an inherent need across the market to continuously refine the way that we're thinking about cyber risk quantification. And when we're working with our clients, we have to consider, how are the leading cyber catastrophe models each evolving with their individual methodologies? And for this study, we focused on CyberCube's portfolio manager, Guidewire Science, and Moody's RMS. We have to discern what similarities and differences exist in their various approaches, and how can we leverage that expertise to support our clients with a better understanding of their portfolios and the potential design of their risk transfer structures.
Now, Jess, you conducted studies of various cyber models that Erica just mentioned. Can you explain how those studies were conducted?
Sure, John. So the basis of our study is this industry proxy portfolio. We have 50,000 actual cyber policies that we sample from the Guy Carpenter proprietary cyber data lake. That's an aggregated database of our clients' reinsurance submissions. And as Erica talked about, you know, the global cyber insurance premium is about $15.5 billion right now, and our data lake represents more than 50% of that premium volume. So we consider this portfolio to be a very good proxy of how the cyber industry looks like today. Mm-hmm. So the study goes that we ran the proxy portfolio through the three leading CyberCat models that Erica mentioned, CyberCube, Guidewire Science, and Moody's RMS, using the latest model version that were released in the middle of 2023. Then we built two different types of machine learning-based predictive analyses. The first type, we called it divergence analysis, where we look at which policy characteristic is driving most of the differences across the three models. And the second type is the relativity analysis, where we focus on which characteristic is causing one model's result to be much higher or much lower than another model based on how these models interpret and how they treat the characteristics. And once again, you know, this year, this study is actually a revamp and refresh of a study that we did a year ago, and we expanded the scope of the study to examine the model divergence, not just at the mean, but also at the 1 in 100 and 1 in 200 year return periods, to really hone in on where insurance companies worry about most when it comes to exposure accumulation risk.
That sounds pretty complex, Jess. Were there any broad themes in the model updates that you studied?
Yeah, absolutely. Since we published our initial study in the summer of 2023, all three of the leading cyber models have released new model versions. Now, some of these new versions include major updates to their parameters and also their methodologies, while others are doing more fine-tuning of different components of their models. So overall, there are some common themes that we observe from these model updates. So for example, we saw that the focus of these models are now moving away from traditional data theft or privacy breach type of scenarios to a much more granular ransomware and cloud outages. No doubt this shift is driven in a very big part by the uptick in ransomware frequency in the real world that we observed since the beginning of 2023. And there's also an increasing concern across the industry around widespread CSP outages that's leading to this change. Something else I want to mention that we noticed is that the new model versions incorporate pretty significant revisions in the tail events and what types of CAT scenarios that the vendors would consider to be realistic. As we know, you know, cyber is a very fast evolving risk, and there's a high degree of uncertainty around how some of these attacks will manifest. So we expect that this type of tinkering or adjustment at the tail return period scenarios to continue, at least for the next little bit.
Customize your data experience. Best Link now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What were some of the other key observations that you made there, Jess?
Yeah, so our study looks at a wide range of different policy characteristics, and we did come up with a number of interesting findings, so please do check our paper out. But one of the key takeaways that I want to mention here is that we confirmed that revenue is the number one driver of model divergence, and it's much more so at the tail than the mean. Now, revenue is a key input that CyberCat models use to derive BI and CBI losses, these business interruption type of losses. But each model has a different view in how much cyber losses will arise from BI and CBI. And that's partly why revenue is driving so much of the model divergence. Another reason we believe is because all the cyber models have to make some sort of revenue assumptions for the small and micro risks where the granular exposure data is often lacking. And how these assumptions are being made in each of the models contribute to the overall model divergence. On the other hand, other characteristics like industry sectors and countries of domicile, they become a lot less important in explaining model divergence as we move further out into the tail. Now, we believe that is because when we're focusing at tail events, those worst case scenarios, where the impact is so widespread and all the companies are highly correlated at that point, individual companies, industries, or which country they operate in really doesn't matter that much anymore.
Yeah, you mentioned country of domicile, Jess. Does country of domicile have any impact on the results of the study, especially considering that all three models under consideration use U.S. domicile exposure as a foundation?
Absolutely. It's actually a very interesting point that you point out here. In our refresh study, country of domicile have in fact overtaken industry sector to become the second most important factor in driving model divergence. Now, at the face of it, this may seem a little counterintuitive because all the models that we study, as you mentioned, use US companies' data to parameterize their baseline. So we should expect country of domicile to lead to convergence of results, not divergence. But the truth is that divergence is being introduced when each model uses different methods to extrapolate from the US baseline to encompass other regions. And even within the US domicile companies, because each model has their own way of reflecting individual company cybersecurity controls, and this type of individual risk assessment through, let's say, outside-in scanning is usually most robust for US companies. This also adds to the divergence in the model results.
Erica, let's get you back into the conversation here. What should cyber writers be concluding from this report?
Yeah, thanks, John. I think that's the struggle we sometimes face is how do we sort of bring out this analytic expertise in depth and bring it to life by making it actionable? And there are several takeaways embedded in the learnings of this report that cyber writers will find useful. First is around the criticality of data. So knowing what inputs drive the tail, what limitations exist, and how coverage level details impact the results. So ultimately, the model drivers can influence the data capture priorities for cyber writers. Secondly is around the portfolio construction. Jess touched on this earlier, but understanding where effective entities are highly correlated, where aggregation points exist, and the considerations for diversification all help to inform that portfolio design and strategy. A third one is around how cyber writers view the tail. So as the vendors grapple with the breadth of uncertainty, right, in cyber risk, we are seeing significant revisions of return period events and the tail estimates of the models. So that's important for cyber writers to understand because it can be integrated into the pricing strategy of their books. And last but not least is understanding the model divergence and version change when integrating that modeled view into the cyber writer's risk tolerance framework and capital allocations. So I think there's very actionable takeaways from the report that we hope the insurance community finds helpful.
Jess, you touched earlier on the evolution of cyber risk. How do you see the future of cyber modeling evolving?
Yeah, we believe that just like NetCat models, the methodologies of these CyberCat models, they'll stay quite differentiating because the models can then reflect the unique angles of the individual vendors. And with new technologies and new threat actors coming to the scene, as well as changes that we're seeing now being introduced to policy and coverage wording, the models will also continue to evolve in their own ways to take all these into account. So unless we experience a wave of actual CyberCat events that that vendors can use to recalibrate or maybe even overhaul their models, we expect the delta in the model losses to stay the way that they are today for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, I think the market's collective end goal is for risk takers to execute with confidence. And we've seen so many advancements in CyberCat modeling since they first launched less than 10 years ago. And as they gain more traction and adoption, we see confidence with the modeling continue to grow and the work that's put into them benefiting stakeholders across the market. And I think the challenge will be keeping up with the pace of change that cyber risk presents.
Yeah, we're going to be keeping up. We're going to be trying to keep up with this for some time to come, I'm sure. Erica, Jess, a very informative conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That was Erica Davis, Managing Director and Global Co-Head of Cyber at Guy Carpenter, and Jess Fung, Managing Director and North American Cyber Analytics Lead at Guy Carpenter. And I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.